All right, bang, bang, another episode of Chicago Dog Walk. I am sitting here next to Chief, and we are also sitting alongside two very interesting guys, to say the least. Right, Chief?
Oh, I'm enthralled. Okay, we haven't even started. I'm captivated.
Okay, so we are sitting here with Goddess Avira and Goddess Jade. Is that the right introduction?
Hello.
That's the right names, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so they're goddesses because they work in the BDSM industry. Is that right?
Sex work. Sex work is like the umbrella term.
Okay. Okay.
There are some people who argue that financial domination is not sex work, but it is.
Okay, so some sex workers over here. And essentially how you guys got on our radar about a month or so ago, there was a video of someone walking a male by a collar with a leash around the bean.
Supreme Tawny, yes.
Yes. What was her name?
Her name was Supreme Tawny.
Okay, Supreme Tawny. Yeah, we reached out to her. We tried to have her on the show. We weren't able to make it work. So I was like, hey, we need to get in some locally based sex workers in here to kind of tell us what was going on. So just through a little bit of Google, a little bit of research, I found out that she is a FinDom, which I believe you are as well, right?
Yes. Avira? Yeah. FinDom is an abbreviation of financial domination, or a financial dominatrix, which is what me and Jade are. Goddess Jade.
Okay. So Goddess Jade, you are a FinDom as well.
Correct. I am. I dabble into FemDom, which is the feminization of domination. So such as the humiliation with her walking him on the leash, that would be an act of humiliation because it's in public, so it's around a lot of public people. Of course, you're going to be humiliated.
Okay.
It can vary between sessions, and it's all different types of fetishes and kinks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Avira, how old are you?
I'm actually 23.
23. Yeah. Okay. So how long have you been doing this?
On and off for about 3 years. I'd say consistently maybe two. Oh, wait. Next year is approaching. So make that 4 and 3.
Okay. Time flies. Yeah. Time flies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did you get into the game? Like what, something hit you when you were 20 years old that makes it? And you were just like, I'm on a, you know.
You know, Goddess Jade knows the real story, but I'm not going to mention that. But I can say that I've always leaned towards dominant when it comes to my sexual preference or my sexual orientation, if you will.
So just in your private life.
Yeah. Okay. I've always been I've always been dominant, even when I don't want to be. It just always happens.
Natural.
I was already into some kinks already when I was like 20. And I realized that something that I partaked in a long time ago before I was 20 is something that I could do now. And then I really enjoyed that. And it was actually in response to a Craigslist ad that my boyfriend at the time found. That there was this young kid, not kid, but there was this young, like, 19-year-old, 20-year-old guy who wanted a couple to humiliate them and take his money and stuff. Of course, he ended up being a fake because it was a Craigslist ad. But then I was just like, wait a minute, because I've seen this before, and I did some research on it. And I was like, oh, I like this. I can do this.
Okay.
And then that's when I kind of started to dabble into it.
Just to clarify, when you say I can do this, what does that mean? Like humiliate people during sex? Or what did you mean by I can do this?
Well, so I actually don't really participate in femdom or prodom. I more or less lean more towards the financial aspect of it. And honestly, it started off as a side hustle in college. Because it was like I worked and went to classes and stuff. And, you know, me and my boyfriend at the time did enjoy some kink. So I was just like, wait a minute. Like, I can incorporate this I can incorporate this financially. And during my research, I was like, wait, this is a fetish. And then I'm just like, oh, this makes sense. Because taking control of someone's finances, like, we live in a man's world. And men are usually, like, on top of everything, including money and including financial stuff. So to them, it's, like, the ultimate form of submission. Like, you're taking their money. You're taking
the
their livelihood.
Power exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that really, really attracted me.
So you're getting stuff out of this, too, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
You're like,
you love what you do.
I do. Yeah. I do. When okay. I can do it, I love what I do. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Holy shit. I thought like this was just like a one side, like I'm just doing this for money, but no, this is like something that you.
Oh no, this is consistent basis.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So yeah, then how, I'll ask you the same question. You know, what, how did you start doing this?
My journey actually started a little bit different from yours. I started selling panties. I don't know if you guys are aware of that fetish. Men have a fetish.
Oh, so you're selling your panties.
Selling your own.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, she's not bad.
So,
bad business.
Yeah.
So men have solely a fetish of purchasing used underwear, and they have a fetish of they do different things with it, so they can smell it, taste it, whatever floats their boat. And I basically send them the panties, and then so. Make a long story short, one of my panty boys, he asked me.
Ooh, so he's a panty boy. He's got a name?
Yes. I call all my boys who just purchased panties my panty boys because I have a separate business from my FinDom business.
I love this.
And so one of my panty boys, he asked me, he's like, you know, have you thought of being a FinDom? So then I started researching and it just went from there.
Okay. Side question on the panty boy thing. Do you have like a clientele list that like how many panty boys are on the roster?
Currently, there's between 30 and 50.
Jesus Christ.
30 to 50.
And my panties start at $30 a pop.
Wow. So now do these people, do they like different kind of panties? Like are you just customized?
Yes, it is. All my orders are customized. So they are able to choose what panties I put on my Instagram. So they'll select which ones they want. And most of my boys are Victoria's Secret or Pink panty boys.
Okay.
And it ranges between thongs and some like full bottom.
Now, does it ever get a little gross though, Jade? Like, is there ever some of the, you know, dunk those in like a pickle jar, maybe a little Hershey squirts in some of those?
Oh, it can definitely get pretty gross. I've been blessed with just regular panty boys. One of them wanted period panties.
Oh.
And, you know, passing on my DNA to someone can really.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you didn't do it?
No, I did it. He didn't respond and he didn't pay, so.
Oh, that's smart, though. So you weren't like your.
Is it all up front, like pay and then?
Oh, yes. Okay. You have to pay before you place the order. Okay. Everything in this conversation is up front.
Everything is up front. A true financial submissive or a true person that really wants to pay for sex work will pay you up front before any kind of service or session or anything.
So that's how we spot out the frauds versus the real ones.
Exactly. Yes. There's a huge debate.
We call those time wasters.
Yes, we call those time wasters. There's this huge debate. It happens all the time on like Twitter and stuff because that's where most people get their most promotion. There's always this like, oh, like you should talk first and get to know them. But it's just like, no. It's like if a submissive really truly respected you and your work, he can spare the little amount that, you know, versus like how much that you would expect or how much he would expect. Cause you'll have people that'll come into your DMs like, I will send you thousands of dollars. I just need you to send me a photo of yourself first.
Yeah.
And then you know, some girls unfortunately will do that and then gone.
Gone.
Poof, gone.
And what she's talking about is called a initial tribute.
Yep.
And what happens is a sub will approach their superior or the superior they want to serve, and we'll label in our bio initial tribute $50 or $40. Mm-hmm. And technically they're supposed to pay that prior to even speaking to us. That would be the respectable thing.
Okay.
But a lot of them don't like to because we call them time wasters.
So there's etiquette here, huh?
There
a little
is.
Bit of etiquette.
Yes. It's a business.
But so is that like a 35? Is that like the application fee? Or like are they getting out anything out of that? Or how does that work?
It's a respect thing.
Oh, that was a man answer.
Yeah, that was a man answer.
I get out of that?
What's that mean? What did I do that was manly?
Think about it as a copay. Like before you
consult
see your doctor, you pay like a $25 copay, yeah? $50 copay.
Ladies, keep me in check here.
Yeah.
Keep me in check.
Oh, don't worry. We will.
You can't get into the room until you pay your copay, essentially.
Sure,
essentially. So it's like you can't talk to me unless you pay me $35.
But I guess more
that's
so.
That's my initial, at least.
I guess
mine
more
is
so.
50.
What
hers is 50. Mm-hmm. So I have a friend who's 40. It ranges.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about JP Graziano's real quick. Mrs. G, I'm real sorry about this one. I know this might not be one you want to listen to, you know, so just press pause. We'll catch you on Monday. I don't know. I'm sorry.
No moms on this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. You know, I just, you know, Jim, you know, tell Mrs. G I apologize. But regardless, go in there. Stop at J.P. Graziano's, 901 West Randolph. Go head over to jpgraziano.com, the catering's chief. How about that dessert trays?
The dessert trays are so clutch. I mean, this is party season. This is big organized party season, whether it's Halloween or Friendsgiving or Thanksgiving, Christmas parties. There's only one place you should be going to have that stuff catered, and that's J.P. Graziano's.
Absolutely. The cannolis, the biscottis, the brownies. If you give them 24 hours in advance, they'll get you some Italian cookies, the cannoli chip and dip trays. And how about the large cannoli, the big cannoli shell, beautifully decorated and filled with 18 mini cannolis. I appreciate that.
That's so many cannolis.
Yeah.
Holy cannoli.
Holy cannoli. There you go. All right. That's a nice little shot there. Nice little holy cannoli there, Chief. All right. Yeah. Go check them out. 901 West Randolph, jpgraziano.com. All right. Let's get back to the goddesses. So I guess more so what I was asking, like, is that after you pay the copay, do they initially get something right back?
No.
Or that's like, all right, 35 to just engage in the conversation.
Engage in conversation.
Okay, okay.
Yep.
That's what I was kind of getting at.
Engage in conversation. If, an experienced sub should respect that, you know, transaction and that interaction, and, you know, they should respectfully say if you don't click with them, they should respectfully say okay, sorry, it didn't work out, and then move on, and they should be fine. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's like you would think that they would at least check your profile out or, you know, like research your dom, because a lot of doms, like, you can get to know about me or Jade just by looking at our Twitters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And everybody's got a different style, so you can pretty much gauge like how you feel about someone before you take that plunge and, you know, send the tribute. But you'd be surprised by the people that just like send a tribute and be like, I want my money back. It's like, well, bitch, no.
Oh, yeah, fuck that. Can't be having that.
Is most of the communication done over Twitter or what platform? Like, how does that, like, once you have an established relationship, are you giving out your cell phone number? Like, how does this work?
It varies. I will definitely say right now only I have yet to give any submissives my phone number. Currently, I have a different platform. I use Hangouts. I don't know if you guys Google Hangouts. Mm-hmm. I use that just for my boys and for communication, but we use Kick.
Yeah,
a lot Kick. Of communication through Twitter because you just don't trust them. They're in and out when it comes to Twitter subs.
Which I don't get this. This is like the dark web to me. Kick and then like the WhatsApp. That's a big thing, no? Or,
some people use WhatsApp. Some people don't. Because I think WhatsApp, you have to sign up with your real phone number.
Yes. Oh, okay. So this
I use Google, Hangouts. Google Hangouts.
Google Hangouts. Yeah. I thought they got rid of that. No?
Nope. No, Hangouts? It's still around.
Interesting.
I thought about making one, but I usually just use Kick.
What is Kick?
What is Kick?
You've never used Kick?
Never heard of it.
No idea.
It's been around forever.
We only work on the internet. Yeah. I still haven't heard of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Kick, that's a cereal.
Hey, girl, you got Kick?
It's a messenger that you can message anyone through as long as you have Wi-Fi or service. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people use it, like internationals, such as WhatsApp.
Okay.
But there's also public groups. So if you put in hashtag foot fetish, you're going to see all the foot fetish groups. So there's a whole fetish. There's a whole fetish side to Kick.
Yeah, this is one of my groups. Yeah, yesterday or 2 days ago.
It was, they're now still
keeping Kick.
Keeping it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they were shutting down, or they announced that they were shutting down.
October 19th.
Yes, and then, so everyone was trying to figure out, like, what app to move over.
It was all over the community.
And, like, most of us moved to Telegram, even though you have to sign up with a real number with Telegram. But I think you can use a fake number, too, because my friend Mistress Roxy used a fake number. But you can search people by username on that, just, like, Kick. So a lot of people, like, I'm in three Telegram groups because everyone was freaking out, and I was in like three Kick groups, and we all moved to Telegram, and literally like yesterday Kick was like, never mind, we're not going anywhere. So now we're all like, okay, cool.
But wait, so the worry is, so you have to give your real name is what gets you, or the phone number?
The phone number is what gets me.
Well, I mean, what if your phone number, like, I don't know, like, you could.
It's not, because, like, they don't see your phone number, because it's the same thing with Kick. Like, you can put in your phone number if you want, but they don't see it. They're just searching my username. My problem is I keep my vanilla life and my fetish life separate. So it's like, I don't want to pop up. Like, if my friend had a Telegram, I don't want Goddess Avira to pop up on their suggested contact list.
I keep mine separate as well.
You're like Batman.
Batman. So,
yeah.
Just better. Yeah. Bruce didn't really do a good job keeping that.
Yeah. So you said like all the goddesses were talking, everyone's buzzing around. It's like, well, we need to jump to a new platform. Mm-hmm. I noticed that. Like, just I honestly found you because I typed it into the Twitter search bar.
See?
Oh, I told you. I was trying to figure out how.
What
you
did
found
you type in?
Yeah, I typed in FinDom Chicago.
Oh, and you use that hashtag.
I do use that hashtag.
I typed in FinDom Chicago, and you were the first one that popped up.
Oh, thank God.
She always uses it. I have ghosted away from hashtags because they can get you into trouble.
They can. Yes. A lot of sex workers get shadow banned, and Twitter, you know, says that they don't have a shadow ban, but what it does is that when you a shadow ban, it's like they don't show up in your suggestions. Right. Like when you try to search for someone, like they don't show up in your suggestions, or if you go on a hashtag, you won't see their posts.
Oh,
I was shadow banned for like 2 months, but my shadow ban got lifted finally.
Oh. 2 years for me.
About a couple of weeks ago. And so now I show up, but I just had a search suggestion ban, so you couldn't find me on suggestions. You can still see me on tags. But luckily, that's gone. So now I'm like balling out. I'm not shadow banned either.
No using shadow tags ban and stuff.
Can we get back into what a FinDom actually means? Like,
oh,
what
sure
is a normal? Like, we talked about like what you do, like your financial domination. But if I, you said I just give you all my credit cards and bank accounts.
No.
Like, what am I doing?
No. Well, okay. So financial domination is the fetish of controlling one's finances, to put it in a really simple term. Every dom and every sub has different ways of engaging in this fetish. Since it is a fetish and it's part of BDSM, you want to make sure it's safe, sane, and consensual, or SSC. That's the abbreviation. So you got to communicate with your submissive and, you know, figure out what you want to do as far as fetish play goes. Some submissives are just into money. Which I love those. I haven't had one of those in a long time. Some submissives want other kind of fetish play thrown into the mix, because some are not necessarily completely into financial domination, but they do respect enough to like pay you something. Usually those are like session subs, we call them usually. I have one owned sub right now, and he does send me like tributes from time to time, just like because he can, but sometimes he likes to participate in other fetishes, and he's really sweet, actually. He'll usually just ask me, like, hey, like, do you feel like doing this today, or can we do this right now? And then I'm like, yeah, and we'll figure something out.
What will he say? Do you feel like doing what? Like, can you give
us an
example?
he's a pain slut, so he's really into pain and humiliation and chastity, so he likes to lock his cock up. He's locked right now. He's been locked for probably a week now.
All right, so we went a little long. We're gonna stop right there. What a crazy part one, to say the least, Chief.
The craziest podcast I've ever been a part of, and that's saying something, talking about our normal subjects.
Exactly. So that's it for today. We'll catch you tomorrow for part two.